Coming to find this combination of comfort, of ease, and at the same time, alertness. So the body is soft, the internal realm is soft, an energy of surrender, softening, abiding. And yet at the same time, this is met with alertness, arising along the spine, this vigilance, staying committed to the true. And you can feel that both in the way in which the body is held and the inner realm. This coming together of what we might call abhyasa and vairagya, a certain effort, a diligence, a vigilance, and at the same time, a surrender, a relinquishing. And at times you might notice that you err on the side of one or the other. There's more efforting. It's like you become concrete in and through the body that you need to stay. There's a holding. Or on the other side of things, a slipping into laxity, feeling lethargic or sleepy, drifting off wherever the mind might take you. Neither of these are truly what was being pointed to with this abhyasa and vairagya. The effort or the vigilance married with surrender or relinquishing brings this perfect combination, soft vigilance, effortless effort. So see if you can allow that to be embodied now. So often the psychological mind is so established in the physical body that actually we are an embodiment of thought. It's somatized, crystallized. So even as we bring this effortless effort or this comfort and alertness, we're starting to position ourselves more in the true and less in these viewpoints held in the body. And notice already that this naturally invites us home. Invites us into the stillness of being. And as we continue in our inquiry, really inquiring into the nature of where we can be found, inquiring into whether the psychological mind, the thoughts, the beliefs have anything to do with the truth of us. Let's take this morning some inspiration from Ramana Maharishi, from this great sage, this great non-dual awakened being, really had so much to live and exemplify in the realization and recognition of the self. And he offers clear pointings in our inquiry around the mind and suffering. He says the following. To ask the mind to kill the mind is like pretending. It's like asking or making the thief the policeman. So nothing will be gained. Instead, you must turn inward to see where the mind rises from, and then it will cease to exist. Of course, to some degree, we are employing the mind. It is well known and admitted that only with the help of the mind can the mind, in fact, cease. But instead of setting about saying, there is a mind and I want to kill it, to get rid of it, you begin to seek its source. And then you find that it does not exist at all. The mind turned outwards results in thoughts and objects. Turned inwards, it becomes itself, the self. It can be said that the mind ceases to exist or that it becomes transformed into the self. The meaning is really the same. And it does not mean that a person becomes mindless like a stone, but instead that the pure consciousness of the self is no longer confined within the narrow limits of an individualized mind, and that he no longer sees through a glass darkly, but with clarity and radiant vision. By steady and continuous investigation into the nature of the mind is transformed into that which I refers, and that is in fact the self. The mind entirely depends on its existence upon things that are gross. It never sustains by itself. If one inquires where the I thought arises in the body, it will be found that it is the source of the mind. Since every other thought can only occur after the rise of the I thinking, I exist. And since the mind is nothing but a bundle of thoughts, it is only through this inquiry that the mind subsides. And yes, all kinds of thoughts arise in meditation. But what lies hidden in you, what is the source of the mind, is brought out. Thoughts rise up spontaneously, but only to be extinguished in due course. And then he offers, when someone asks, Bhagavan, Ramana, you have often said that one must reject thoughts when one begins the quest, but thoughts are endless. If one thought is rejected, another comes up, and there seems to be no end at all. And he offers, I do not say that you must keep on rejecting thoughts. Instead, be clear in this affirmation of neti neti, their lack of existence. And in that, if you cling to yourself, to the I, the beingness, and your interest keeps you to that single background thought, other thoughts will get rejected and will automatically vanish. And a little bit of further inspiration from Ramana on this connection between thoughts and suffering. The bliss of self is always yours, and you will find it if you seek it earnestly. The cause of your suffering is not in your outer life. It is in you, as your mind, as the ego. You impose limitations on yourself and then make a vain struggle to transcend them. All unhappiness is due to this plight of the mind and the ego. To be the self that you really are is the only means to realize the bliss that is truly ever yours. And finally, he offers, reality must always be real. It has no names, no forms, but it is what underlies all. It underlies all limitations, being itself limitless. It is not bound in any way, and it underlies all unrealities, being itself the only real. It is that which is. It is as it is. It transcends speech, name, form, and it is well beyond description. And so we take these gifts of the pointings to really recognize that anything within the entanglement of names, forms, descriptions is moving out from the source itself. Even the primary I thought, the primary thought of individuation, of existing as an ego, of specialness, of personhood. This can be inquired into because all other thoughts of the psychological mind arise from there. And yet, as Ramana offers, if we clear the way, if we swipe these thoughts with the gift of neti neti, we can come home to this abiding presence, firstly, of this primary sense of existence, I exist. And then even follow this back to its source. Who exists? Who am I? We allow there to be an experiential knowing, what we call in the tradition ajnana, an integrated knowing. That we are not this mind, nor all of the roles, masks, veils, the various objectifications that we have labeled ourselves to be. And we allow neti neti to truly be like a knife that cuts all of the cords that tether us to the untrue. Releasing bondage to the falsehood, and in that way allowing the emanation of pure beingness to be all that is left. Let that be the abiding presence. Neti, neti. Not this, not that. 5 last minutes, allow the body to really sink into comfort in these last minutes and to abide. And if movement starts to enter into the body, let it not be accompanied by movement of the mind. As Ramana so often offered, he said when we come out of the meditation, we should maintain this slow steadiness, this constancy, so that that which has been revealed can translate, transpire into the rest of the day in our lives. So you might gently come to open the eyes, gently start to move, but not out of aversion. We will meet at 3:00.